this morning. Good to see everyone here in church. What a blessing it is to be here. Thank you to God getting us all here safely, loving us, taking care of us. Got some visitors today. Thank you for all you being with us this morning. It's good to see you. You're a blessing to us. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing to you, let us know, please. But I'm just thankful to be in church this morning. And I am looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning in this service. He is good to us, and He is able to provide what we need here this morning in this service. Sunday school hour, I don't know about you, but it was great for me. God, I love the Sunday school hour. It really works on my heart.
I feel like we're playing.
Just teaching me so much, especially right now from the book of Genesis and just going through that. And I'm thankful for those services. I'm thankful also that we get to have a morning service afterwards. If it was up to me, I know I've said it a million times, but if we could add another day for church, I'd be here. I'd find a way to get here. I love it. I love being here. I love being around my brothers and sisters in Christ. You guys are all such a blessing to me. You lift me up. You encourage me. You give me examples as brothers and sisters that want to serve the Lord and do right. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful the church that God has blessed me with. I'm thankful for the pastor He's blessed me with. Just the friends I have here, and I'm looking forward to spending eternity with you folks and singing praises to our Lord and Savior's name every chance we can in heaven. Hopefully it's all day, every day. You know I like singing the songs of heaven, so we're going to go ahead and do that this morning, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church this morning. Lord, for loving us, for caring for us, for meeting our needs. Lord, for the blessings that you give us every day, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for this church that we're in this morning. Lord, but we know that the church isn't just a building. Lord, it's a body of believers coming out, meeting together, getting around your word, Lord, and studying it and hearing the preaching of your word. Lord, we know that your word is powerful and it is able to show us truth and to show us who we really are, what we really need, and most of all, show us the love of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and that He is willing to save us from our sins if we're only willing to put our faith and trust in Him. Lord, we're so thankful for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, we ask that you please work in this service this morning. Lord, you know each and every heart in this place better than the ones that possess it, Lord. You know our hearts, you know what we need, and we ask that you meet with us each, Lord, individually. Meet us right where we are. Give us what we need from your word this morning. Lord, I pray you fill our pastor with your power. Amen. Lord, I pray you lead him with the Spirit. Lord, I pray only what you would want said and done here this morning would be done, Lord. Nothing more, nothing less, but that the Spirit of God would take control, lead this service, Lord, and do something in our hearts this morning, Lord. Help us not to leave here not with something to meditate on, Lord, but we would leave here with something to chew on, to meditate, Lord, and that we would leave here closer to you than when we came. Lord, I pray you give us safety as we travel this afternoon. Lord, and if it be your will, bring us again safely here tonight, Lord. We're just going to thank you and praise you for all you'll do in this service this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I invite you, if you're able, please stand with me. Turn to page 207. 207. We're going to sing, Oh Happy Day, page 207. asshole. I remember it like it just happened 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
I'll never forget that moment when I knew that the Holy Spirit bear witness with me and let me know that with, through Jesus Christ, I will spend an eternity with my God, and He washed my sins away. I am so thankful for that. Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 347. 347. Tell it to Jesus.
Hey.
Here this morning. Just some far as announcements go, I'm trying to clean out the books downstairs, and so I got, I think, four areas of books. So if anybody's interested or like any of those books, they're down there. So feel free to take them if you want them. I'm trying to clean up that side corner over there. So again, there's books downstairs. You'll see them when you go down there. There's a bunch of them. If you'd like any of them, please feel free to take them. I want to tell you also about the interment for Miss Nancy. It'll be this Tuesday back down in Regalsville again at 10 o'clock if anyone is interested. So Tuesday at 10 o'clock will be the interment for Miss Nancy Pirelli. So please keep that in prayers. I head down there this Tuesday. Also, a men's meeting for those that are members. Men's that are members with Brother Jim Bush has asked to meet with the men. So after the morning service, if you could, if you're a member, please meet with Brother Jim in my office. And also, if you could, please continue to keep our missionary, Gina Fry, in prayer in Zambia. That God would just help her, strengthen her, and encourage her, and with the work that she's doing there with those children in the country of Zambia. So please keep Gina, Miss Gina, in prayer as well. Amen.
All right. Amen. ask you to turn with me to our final song for this service here. We're going to turn to page 388. The song is Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And I encourage you to sing this song prayerfully. Think about the words you're singing. I hope it speaks to your heart, prepares for the preaching thereafter. Page 388.
Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat finds himself in a little bit of a situation here. Beforehand in chapter 19, he had received the prophet rebuking him over joining affinity with one that I believe was of the world, with Ahab. And Jehoshaphat receives that rebuke from Hananiah in chapter 19, and he takes that and he goes forward with the things of God, and he sets up judges, he sets up the Levites, he sets up the elders of the land and the priests and the fathers of Israel to seek God with a perfect heart, to walk and to fear the Lord and to walk before God faithfully. And then he tells him in the last part of chapter 19, verse number 11, the latter part of that verse, he tells the leadership there in Israel, he says, deal courageously and the Lord shall be with the good. And then we find ourselves going into chapter 20. We find in chapter 20, verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I pray you'd help my thoughts, dear God. I pray you'd help me, Lord, this morning. I pray you clear out what's in my mind, Lord. And Father, just give me what's needed, dear God, for these people, for myself this morning. Lord, at everything that's said and done, dear God, you would be magnified, lifted up, and glorified. So, Lord, I ask for your help now with these scriptures, dear God. Lead, guide, and direct, and Lord, help us to grow in these things for your glory and for your honor. We pray these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1, that Jehoshaphat's in a situation. He just gets done, and a little bit after that, he finds himself three nations that want to come against him and basically take him and his people over. The Bible says that Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And we find in verse number 3 of chapter 20 that the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared. That's right expectation for this man as a king. I talked about this last week. Can you imagine being a king over a nation and all of a sudden you get word from your military advisors that you have three nations that are coming against you and their sole purpose is to come in and try to destroy you and your people? I would think that that'd weigh pretty heavy on the shoulders of those in a leadership position, especially a king, when all the whole nation is looking at you and, king, what are we going to do? And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says in verse 3, he feared, but he did a good thing after he feared. And the Bible says, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see, my brethren, we're going to look into this battle this morning, but it's a good thing to think and apply these principles right here with Jehoshaphat, that if something occurs in your life that brings you fear, if all of a sudden it brings you dismay, if all of a sudden it feels like there's no hope, try to implement the principle we find here with Jehoshaphat and set your heart to seek the Lord. You say, well, preacher, where do I seek God? You seek God first and foremost, I believe, in His Word. Second of all, you seek God by being saved and having the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit as you read His Word. Another way that you can set your heart to seek the Lord is to come to church. You know, people today, they want help. They're in distraught. They're having problems. And they want the answer to be just one quick little pill to take. Like, preacher, break out your bag of pixie dust and sprinkle it over my head so that the problems go away. My friend, it doesn't work that way. I don't have some special magic little pill in my office that I can give to you and it's just going to wash away all the problems. It don't work that way, my friend. And Jehoshaphat realizes this. There's no easy fix to this thing if we're looking at it in a physical sense. When you got three nations that you got word, they're coming to destroy you. And Jehoshaphat fears, which is natural. But then he brings himself back and he says, you know what? I'm going to set my heart to seek my God, and I'm also going to proclaim a fast. How many people that are in distraught and facing serious things in their life set a fast? There's very few people that fast just in general. Much less when something goes bad, you set yourself to where I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek the heart of God. To me, friend, that shows you how serious your situation is. If you're not going to fast and you're not going to come to church, don't tell me your situation's serious. Because in your eyes and the motive and the actions that you're showing, you're taking it not too seriously. But if it's a serious thing going on in your life, you'll be in church. I believe that. I believe you'll be in church. This should be the first place you ought to run to is church. And if it's not this church, find you a church and get you there. And get in that church and take part in that church. And I believe God will help you with the things you face. Set your heart to seek the Lord. And then fast. Stop eating food for a day or two. And ask God to get in that thing and help you out. But see, we're not willing to go that far with it. But Jehoshaphat was, because this was a serious spot that he was in. And not only just for him, take your Bible, look at chapter 20. Look down here at verse number 12. It's just not Jehoshaphat that's in this position. Look at chapter 20, verse 12. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Jehoshaphat's telling God, he says, God, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, God. I'm setting my heart to you, Lord. We're not eating. We're fasting, God. And we're hoping, God, that you'll give us an answer. He says, but our eyes are upon thee in verse 12. And then look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. You know what, men? If you stay here long enough in this church, I'm going to be harder on men than I'm going to be on women. Men, God expects you to be a leader. God expects you to be the man of the household. That's Bible. That is Scripture. The husband, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. And wives, I'll say this to you, in Ephesians chapter 5 and in the book of Colossians and also over in 1 Peter, the Bible says that wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. That's Bible. If you don't believe me on it, go read through your Bible, Ephesians, Colossians, and 1 Peter. Wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. Thus, if their husband wants to do this, unless it's against Scripture, you obey your husband. If your preacher wants to go this way with something, then you obey your preacher if it's not against Scripture. Now, if you know me, if anybody you know me outside of church, you may say, well, he up in the pulpit. But if you know me outside of church and you spend time with me outside of church, I'm not this man of God thing. Actually, I'd rather run the other way. But I believe a preacher ought to have authority in a church. And if I begin to abuse the authority at going against the Scriptures, then you got a case. But I believe pastors need to be pastors. And you ought to have men in the pulpit this morning across this land that have men that have authority like Jesus Christ. The Bible says he preached and was one that had authority. And the scribes were looking at him like, what kind of man is this? You know what's missing today? Men that got authority about them. Too many men today are scared. They're scared of their very wife. Now, I'm not talking about being mean this morning. Why? Because the Bible says in Ephesians, the same verses where it says the wife to be in subjection to the husband, the Bible also tells the husband to love their wife like Christ loved the church. But if you love your wife, you'll do right by God. If you love your wife, you'll do right by God. And if she leaves you because you're loving God and loving Him and loving His Word and you're trying to do right and she says, honey, I can't deal with that, then she goes and you keep doing right with God. But we need men today. We ain't got no men. We ain't got no men in the churches today. He's talking too loud. Friend, when you're in a battle, a sergeant doesn't go, column left. Okay, now y'all, I need you to direct your fire this way, but do it gently as you pull your gun around. We're in a war, brethren. We're in a spiritual warfare. You pray for your pastor before church services. Because I don't know about you, but my mind gets assaulted Saturday afternoon all the way through Sunday night. The battles that go on right here. Brethren, I know any Christian that's in spiritual warfare, the battles that go on right here. God help us today, brethren. God help us today. To get back to true Bible-believing Christianity in the Word of God. You know why, brethren? Because look at verse 13. You know, it's just not the king, but this king is sitting up there in his area, and he's got all of Judah looking at him. The little kids that are down there by their mama, and the wives, and the babies, and they all got their eyes towards the king. And what is the king going to do? And king, can you help us? And king, are we going to die? And king, is he going to come in and take my children away? Are we going to lose our children? Are we going to lose our home? King, what are we going to do? And the king sets his heart to God and he fasts and he says, and he goes to God and says, God, I need help because I don't know what to do. And how many times should a preacher go to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm in a situation. I got these problems all over the place. Lord, what do I do? The Bible gives an answer. God gives an answer in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. Look what the Bible says. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattathiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know what congregations need today? They need the midst of the Lord to come in the midst of the congregation. They need God to get into church service. But we're not going there today because we're not willing to set our heart towards God. What do we got to eat for lunch today? Well, preacher, finish up quick. I got family I got to go home to. I got to eat lunch and prepare lunch for them. We'll never see God move. Yeah. We'll never see God move. Right. Preacher, you went past 12 o'clock, and I'm not saying nobody in here has ever done this to me. I'm just saying in general, it happens in churches. Well, I will say it happened in this church with time. I said one more scripture. Oh, we want God to move. Oh, we love Jesus. But I won't listen to one more scripture. My friend, you don't love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you love His Word. Because that's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23. If you love me, you love my Word. Brethren, we're missing it. And you know what was going to bring deliverance to this nation of Judah? It was going to take the Spirit of God to get into the midst of the congregation to bring the deliverance that was needed. Verse number 15. And he said, hearken. This is the king speaking. The prophet speaking. And he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do you realize this morning that the battle is not yours? Stop trying to fight it. The battle's God's. Stop trying to figure out the situation with your own intellect and your own mind and your own reason. Commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Brethren, the battle's not yours, it's God's. And if you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to want to blame God why He didn't do something. Why? Because you're the one trying to do it rather than God doing it for you. But you know what it takes for God to do it for you? It takes you to get humbled down and on your face before Him. Most Christians won't get there. They're too prideful. Too prideful to get down on their face before God. God forbid we'd ever come up to the altar here and get before our face before God and ask God to help us with something. Oh no, we won't do that. I got too much pride. What will people say of me? I won't raise my hand in praise and glorify God because what will people say of me? And I'm not talking about charismatic stuff this morning, brethren. It's all through the Bible if you read it. Last time I checked, the Jews weren't charismatic, but they lifted up their hands to God. We won't do it today. We will not do it. We will not do it. Mm-mm. No. You want God to move? You know what this is a sign of? Submission. I was a police officer for a number of years. Will you tell people, let me see your hands. Get your hands out of your pockets. Let me see what you get your hands out of your pockets. You know why a police officer says that? Because you could put stuff in your pockets that could hurt me. Get your hands out of your pocket. Let me see your hands. Get your hands up. You know what that's a sign of? Submit to authority. You know why we ought to lift our hands to God? Not just to praise Him. It's a position of submission. Because so often when the hands go up, the head goes down. You know what that's showing God? It's showing God, God, I submit. But guess what you got? You got to bow that neck. He that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, not without remedy. You won't bow that neck. You're too prideful. You know how long it took me in church to raise my hand because I was too concerned about what everybody else thought of me. I don't care now what you think of me. If you see me up here, I don't care what you think. It's to my Savior. And that's who I'm glorifying. Too many Christians say we're too prideful. We're too concerned with us and what people will think of us rather than pleasing Him. You see, they needed the Spirit of God to get in the midst of this congregation. And God speaks to them through the prophet. He says, listen, the battle is not yours, but God. He says in verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The prophet says, listen, you're not going to have to fight in this battle, but you will have to go. You see, you just can't stay in your tent. God's not going to bring you victory if you just stay in your tent. God's not going to bring you victory if you stay in front of that television set. God's not going to bring you victory if you just stay there on the couch. God says you got to get up the couch. Yeah, I got to get you out of that house and you got to go out there and you got to stand. And when you're willing to do that, you'll see God intervene for you and give you victory in the battle. Amen. Brethren, it takes something on our part. Preacher, you're getting a little too excited now. God help us. God help us. Brethren, I'm going to show you some next verses that what I'm telling you and how I'm acting is biblical. It's biblical. Look at verse number 18. And Jehoshaphat did what? bowed his head with his face to the ground. Where's Jesus Christ in these scriptures? Where's Jesus Christ in these scriptures? Jesus Christ has yet to be born of a Virgin Mary. This is on off into the future. All right? This is the God of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, look, there's no cross yet. There's no blood shed on that cross. There's no grave yet to where that tomb where he was laid in that tomb. There's no resurrection yet on the third day to where he went down there and he deposited his sins in hell, went over and led captivity free. The cross isn't here yet. I'm getting to a point. You have people in the Old Testament that have yet to have the new birth. They're not born of the Spirit yet like what we got here in the age of grace. These people are living in Old Testament times, and God says, provide a victory for you if you just go and stand. And Jehoshaphat's reaction is to fall down on the ground and bow his head to the ground in honor and glory and reverence to God. Brett, if I came down this aisle and you saw someone come down this aisle and they bowed themselves to God, they're not doing wrong. Amen. Actually, it's Bible. And they ain't doing it to me. I'm not no priest. I'm not no pope. There ain't nothing special about me. I'm just a pastor and a preacher. And I'm just to be a servant and a minister to you. I'm not the man of God. I'm not lifted up. I'm not a prophet. But if you come down here, that's to God. Amen. I don't know why I'm preaching this morning. Because I didn't intend about talking about anything about no altar. I'm just saying this morning, brethren, you know what's needed? We need humility. We're too full of ourselves. Too many Christians are too arrogant. They're too prideful. They're just concerned with them and their life and what goes on in their life. And they got a little bit of God. They got probably 2% of God, and 98% of them is the world and what can please them. It's serious. Brother, I'm serious. We're more concerned about what we're going to eat for lunch. Jehoshaphat sets a fast, he bows his head to the ground. Look at verse 18. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So all of Judah falls down, the Bible says, and they're worshiping God as they fall to the earth, praising God. Look at verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up. Look, these Levites, these leaders in the church, so to speak, understand what I'm saying this morning. These religious leaders, these leaders that should point the children of Israel to the true God and how to worship the true God, they stand up, the Bible says, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a soft voice on high. You say you're too loud, preacher, then you would be getting on the Levites as well in the time of Jehoshaphat. Because the Levites stood up and it wasn't with no soft voice. It was, the Bible says, with a loud voice on high. They begin to praise and give glory to God. Look at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood. Can you imagine the questions that were going on with the children of Israel? No doubt there might have been some there in that congregation saying, I don't believe what he said. I don't believe this is going to happen. Don't you think I should take my spear? Hey, Reuben, don't you think I should grab my sword? Hey, he says just to go out, we got to stand. Surely this prophet and this king, they don't know what they're talking about. Who ever heard of just going there and standing and seeing God giving a victory over three nations? Shouldn't I grab my spear? Shouldn't I grab my sword? I don't believe him. And Jehoshaphat says this in verse 20. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. And believe in, look what the Bible says in verse 20. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now look, I'm going to get to this next week. A lot of Christians are missing it today, and a lot of churches, they think God's supposed to prosper them now, physically. No, my friend, God's not going to prosper the church now, physically. God's going to prosper us with spiritual things, and our blessings physically will come someday over there in eternity. But in the Old Testament times, it was a physical land. It was a physical group of God's people. It was a physical place that he gave them. It was a physical covenant that he gave them. And God's going to bless them with physical blessings. And they're going to get the blessings here of physical things as we read through this battle. But right now, the Bible says, ye shall prosper. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, this is Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat goes down and he consults with the people. And he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So he goes to the congregation and he appoints people to praise the beauty of holiness, and they praise God as they're going forward. And verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You see, the victory didn't come till they started going forward, till they believed what God said to do. They started going out. He consulted with the people. He set up singers. And as they're going, getting ready to go to the place where they're to stand still, they're singing and praising God as they go. And as they do that, unbeknownst to them, God is working for them by setting up ambushments so that Moab destroys Ammon. Ammon destroys the people of Mount Seir, and they end up killing each other, and Israel doesn't have to do one thing. Look what the Bible says in verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. You know what? I'm just going to give you a little clue here this morning. You stop the live stream for a second. You stop the recording for a second. Good? All right. I'm going to give you a little clue here. All right. So he says the battle's the Lord here. We're closing up here. And you find here in verse 23 that as they're coming up, God sends ambushments to where basically you find that Moab and Ammon destroy the people of Mount Seir. And then once those people destroy, then Moab and Ammon end up destroying each other. And look at verse 24. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Brethren, as I close up this morning with these verses, and I'm going to look more about this next week, but a little preview here. When you do what God wants you to do, and it may be everything in your flesh and in your spirit is saying, this is not going to work. But you go forward and you realize that the battle's God's, and that he'll fight for you if you'll just stand and do right and live righteously and holy. If you'll just make that stand, you might find out that God gives you the victory. And there's so much victory in it that it takes you 3 days to get all the victory that God has for you. You say, preacher, I don't have no victory over this sin in my life. I never have no victory over these thoughts in my life. Preacher, I never have victory over these emotions in my life. Well, are you standing? Are you letting God fight the battle for you? Are you setting your heart towards him? Are you fasting? And are you going forth and doing the things that you know you need to do that are right? And if you begin to start walking that track and that path, you might just get to the top of the mountain that you're facing and realize it's all been done for you through Jesus Christ. And you can then receive the promises he has for you. And it's going to take you 3 days to get a hold of everything that God got for you. But you got to be willing to go forth. And you got to be willing to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to close with this last scripture. Flip over to Exodus chapter number 14, I believe it is. Look at Exodus chapter 14. We're going to close with this right here. Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. I want you to look at verse number 12. Here we have the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh is chasing after them. They got the mountains on one side, they got the sea in front of them, and they're entangled in the situation that they're in. Basically, there's no way out for the children of Israel here. They got Pharaoh who wants to kill them and drive them back to Egypt. They got a bunch of water in front of them, and they got mountains around them, and they're stuck. And look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. But you know what we're doing today as Christians? We're letting the Egyptians steal our peace. Look, let's say this water bottle is our peace. You know what peace represents? Peace is tranquility. Peace is stableness in the mind and the heart. Peace is safety. Peace is quietness. And we have it in our hands by the power of God that God's given us this peace through Jesus Christ. He's our peace. But what we do is we go to the world, and the world influences us, and the world talks to us, and the devil messes with our minds, and we say, and then we start giving into it and say, yeah, it is true. This is the only hope. I wish I was back to Egypt, and I go to Egypt for health. And what you do is you give Egypt your peace. And now you have anxiety, now you have depression, now you have fear, now you're dismayed and you're going down and down and down. Why? Because you've looked for help and for peace and you've given it to Egypt, the world. And the Bible says, God says, I'm your peace. And the Lord says, stand still, I fight for you, and let me fight for you. And you just hold your peace. Don't be worried, Christian. Don't be worried. Hold your peace. Don't let it flee from you, because I'm your Lord and I'll fight your battle for you. Hold your peace. Rest. Be quiet. And see the salvation of God. Look what the Bible says in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. See, you got to go forward. You can't stay in the bed. You can't stay in a dark room. You can't stay in your thoughts. You can't stay in your mind. You can't stay with what you're thinking. You got to go forward. You're not going to get help until you get to go forward. Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. You know what happens if you're able to stand still and let God fight the battle for you, and you hold your peace, you don't react, you don't fight back, you hold your peace and you let God plead your cause? God will get honor from Pharaoh. You know why? Because the world will see the victory that God's given you. And not only if they don't yield to it, they'll get destroyed, but if they yield to it, they might just get the help that this world needs by seeing the help that you're getting. And God will get glory in it. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood before them. And it came to pass, or it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, you see, go forward in the night, my friend. Go forward in the night, because deliverance will come in the morning. Deliverance will come in the morning, but you got to be willing to go forward. God, let God be a light for you. And in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And you know the story, the water comes in upon Pharaoh and his army, and destroys the army of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself. Swallowed up by what? The water of God. Let this thing swallow up your problems. Amen. The washing of the water of the Word. Amen. Get in it and let God's Word swallow up your problems. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. And there's victory in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. Oh God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get back to the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get back to the Scriptures. Dear God, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do and see these principles that are found throughout the Word of God. Lord, time prohibits, dear God, time prohibits to see all the principles that were mentioned this morning, both in the Old and New Testament, dear God. Help us to sit at your feet as Mary did, dear Lord. Help us, as Paul tells the Ephesians, to just stand fast, stand still. And Lord, help us to see the victory that comes by staying in your Word and in prayer and walking with you. So Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. I pray that this just wouldn't go in one ear and out the other. God, I pray it touch our hearts, dear Lord. And Lord, that we would cry out to you mightily in times of need, and even in times when we're not in need, that we would cry out to you with thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. And we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you take your hymn book, I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. Page number 210. Page number 210 in the hymn book. If you grab it, I'd like to close with this hymn this morning. Page number 210. Page number 210, if you're able to stand. As we close with this hymn, let's sing this hymn out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Page number 210, Saved by the Blood. Amen.
Lord. You deserve our voices to be lifted up to praise and glorify the precious Lamb of God which died for the sins of the world. Lord, help us to not fall prey to just staying in a state of inertness to God. And Lord, you give us voices to praise you, your God. And I believe in heaven someday, your God, we'll be lifting our voices around that throne, praising and glorifying the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world.
Thank you.
So, Lord, help us, dear God, for the rest of this day, dear God. Help us to keep our eyes to you, Lord. Help us to keep our hearts soft and tender. Help us to walk humbly with you, dear God. Help us to bow our head and lift our hands and glorify you, Lord, in our lives. So, Lord, I ask you to dismiss us with your blessings. I pray you give us home safely, dear God. And, Lord, I pray you help us to enjoy the afternoon as you see fit. And, Lord, help us to gather again Sunday night tonight, Lord, to be your will, so we can glorify you again. We'll give you all the honor and praise in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, dismiss. Love you. Lord, Lord, see you.
Amen.